Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
If you've been part of our church for a while now, you may have heard of Beacon Care as one of our little our social justice armor. So as a church, you might have heard of Made With Love, the meals that we cook up at the top there. We do a whole bunch of things. But today, we want to introduce you to Johan and Nicole as they come up with Beck. Can we give them a round of applause? We're going to introduce you to these guys officially because these guys, they can take a seat in the middle there. They're actually heading up at Beacon Care as a church. And with that comes a whole bunch of new initiatives. And today we just want to hear the heart of these guys and how you guys can be really proactive in making a difference in the life of our community. So we want to take the time out today to talk about that because we're really excited about what God wants to do in this city through our church outside the walls of this building. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Give him a round of applause. Like, give him, you know, like, yeah. If you don't know this amazing couple, we want to get to know them a little bit today, hear a bit of their story, but also hear about their heart for what we can do in the city for Jesus. So, starting off, guys, please introduce yourselves. Tell us about yourselves before we get in so we know who you are.
Yeah, thank you, church. For those of you who don't know me, Johan, Nicole, we've been coming to Beacon for about 6 years now. Coming up to 12 years of good marriage, I'd say.
Was there a pre-good marriage? Or was 12 years of good marriage. Yeah, good.
No. And we've got two little beautiful boys, as most of you probably know them already. I think personally, from a very young age, I think God, you know, just gave me a heart for the hurting, you know, the unseen or the neglected. And he's always put on my heart that verse in Isaiah 61 where he talks about, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news, bind up the brokenhearted, you know, proclaim freedom to the captives. And I've just always, tried to receive that for myself. And about a year ago, Nicole said, you know, I feel like God's talking to me about this same sort of thing. I said, you know, that's good to hear. But I said, look, let's pray into this, you know. Let's pray into the space. Let's truly seek God and see, you know, if this is his will for our lives, if this is where he wants us to head, you know, yeah, he will lead us into it and let's be intentional about it. I think if it was any sooner, it probably wouldn't have, I'll say, the fruit wouldn't have been there because I think we both had to be on the same page in that regard. And that, you know, just yet again shows you it's God's working. So, long story short, we had a conversation with Beck and Az, and you know, it was just confirmation if God's in it, you know, his timing's spot on.
Yeah, I think for me, the Holy Spirit's been nudging at us to see people past their circumstance, past decisions, past sin. None of that defines a person. Their value doesn't lie there, you know, which we haven't gotten right. And, you know, in his kindness, through this chatting to God, he's even brought to my attention some things that I've missed. But when God does that, there's no guilt in that. It just kind of propels you to want to do better. And, you know, literally in Genesis 1, it says, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. So we are all created by God for a plan, for a purpose, and that is where the value lies. Yes, sin and our own decisions, and I guess we're not diminishing the severe consequences of that, but we are all created for a plan and a purpose. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Christ died whilst we were still sinners. Sin doesn't define us. So I think it's, having those eyes to see people in that way, and we just felt maybe this is for us in a more of a corporate sense.
And do you want to give, I guess we're talking about Beacon Care today, and some people, maybe this is the first time they're hearing of it. Other people might be a bit confused because they're thinking, well, I've heard the term global care before. Maybe in the past it was Elevation Care. So I guess just to give a bit of context, global care is a term that you'll hear because INC, their, I guess, charity arm, their social justice arm, is called Global Care, and each INC church has their own local expression of that. So our local expression is Beacon Care. and we have already got some initiatives already happening in that space, which maybe you want to talk a little bit about. But I guess, do you want to tell us a bit about what, like, for the anyone sitting here who has no idea what we're talking about, what is Beacon Care and why for you guys did you want to be part of this?
Yeah, so I think for us, Beacon Care is, you know, it's our way as a church to reach a community through providing, like, the practical needs of people. More importantly, you know, showing them the love of Jesus and speaking life into this situation. If you look at the life of Jesus, you know, he left the church and he lived out the love of the Father. And that's what we want to imitate as well. I think it says in, what was it, John 2, it says, if you have possessions and yet you see a brother and sister in need and have no pity on them, how can the love of the Father be in you? And it speaks about the heart of the Father. All throughout, you know, the Gospel and the book of the Bibles, you'll see God references as the Father to the fatherless. You know, he's a defender of the widow. He upholds the poor and the oppressed. Yet again, it's that heart's position, you know. And I think the thing I love about God is, you know, we're all called to do different things within the church, you know. We're all part of the body of the Christ. And, yeah, we just both felt this is where God wants us to be. Please put this on our heart to be part of this area of church.
Yeah, to me, it's everything that happens here, leaving the four walls. Mm. It's the love of Jesus. It's the grace of God. It's the forgiveness going out. And, you know, we are all called to do that. And we do it in different ways in our individual lives. Some are called to minister to your workplace, to schools. It may be ministry itself or volunteering. It just looks different. So it's the, I guess, the corporate expression as a church of that call to share the gospel and make disciples. And like Johan said, Jesus did as the Father said to do. He went where the Father said to go. You know, it's a both. Like, we love Sundays. We're all for church. Jesus was found around many tables. He preached on the shore, but he also fed. He went into homes and he went to the well. And he met the woman at the well where she was at. And he brought healing to her there. And she was from Samaria, of all places. They weren't even meant to be speaking. And I'm sure you all have, and we have many friends that go, oh, I could never go there. It would go up in flames if I walked into church. You know, so it was asking God which well Beacon should go to. It's kind of, yeah.
And up until now, Beacon Care has been doing certain things. For instance, we've had Made with Love, which has been a really great ministry. And if you don't know it exists, it's a bunch of people in our church that are making home-cooked meals every week. Bring them up to a freezer up top here, and every meal comes in and they just keep going out. There's a need there, and that's a great way. That's one of the ways that we can impact. We've also, over the last couple of years, we've had Stack the Slate, which, I mean, we just say, hey, guys, we need presents for kids in need, and the church responds with hundreds and hundreds of gifts. And then, you know, we've had a bunch of other things, but this is really just that next stage of Beacon Care where, you know, you guys have actually, about a couple of months ago, they came to us and said, we'd like to look after this, but we want to go into the community and find out what the need is. Like, you know, like, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you go, I want to help, but I don't know where to help. Like, how do I help? That's where Nicole and Johan have been so great in this season, seeking after the heart of God, but not only that, being really proactive in going out into the community and going, talking to community leaders, talking to people and saying, as a church, how can we help you be a solution in the Redlands? And so what have you actually come up with? What have you found? And how are we going to be part of that solution?
Yeah, and I think originally it was seeking God first. What did he have to say about it? Because there are so many things that we could do. And I think it was last year he spoke to me through the parable of the great banquet found in Luke, which is no coincidence that fast forward a year and Beck shares that in regards to our last value of we make room at the table. And it's where Jesus is saying, if you host a feast, invite the poor, the lame, the blind, the cripple, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Prior to that, he says, you know, don't have a party and invite all your rich friends because you can get something from them. And further down, he says, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. So I was just chatting to God, and I think the go out, that's the practical side. So we need to facilitate a pathway to meet with people. In all honesty, our day-to-day lives, we aren't interacting with people outside of our circle. So that's the practical. And then the compel, you know, we are no different to anybody that you may help. We are all broken. We've all fallen short of the glory of a God. Our sin might just be a little bit more hidden, you know. So the only difference, if you want to say, is Jesus. The only difference is the love of Jesus within us. You know, there's living water within us. Let's not diminish the power of the Holy Spirit in us. That is the only thing that can compel people to come in. And he says, fill my house. It's only him that can do it. So I think Johan will speak to, then the practical deciding of it.
Yeah, like we can probably all agree, you know, there's 101 ways we can serve the community as a church. You know, it's one of those things where there's so many, I guess, issues out there in society. And it can be overwhelming. Do you go, you know, where to go? Who to serve? Will it even help? There's all those things. You know, the Bible talks countless times of looking after the widows, the orphans, the oppressed, the foreigner. And to put into context, that's all the vulnerable in society. I guess fast forward to today, it's, as we've noticed, it's the young, it's the old, it's men, women, it's two income families living out of a car, you know, on the verge of losing everything. It's more broader in that regard. And it reminds me of James 2, where it says, you know, if you see a brother or sister without clothes or without food, and yet you say to them, you know, go in peace, stay warm and be well fed, but do nothing about their physical need, what good is that? I think that really spoke to us in that regard. We seek God in this area too, and we believe that this is the door he's opened, and we're going to keep trusting him that he's, you know, going to keep opening more doors for us, and you see, we want him to be the driver of the ship, you know, steer us in the direction he wants us to go. It's not our thing or the church's thing. It's God's ministry at the end of the day.
So the deciding from there, I said before, it's like, well, you know when your parents, like, you know that they know things and you're like, can you just tell me? Because I know that you know. Like, God has plans for this church. God had divine encounters in place for this church. So I found myself just saying to God, if he's willing to use Johan and I, would he speak? And would he allow us to hear? And we had one idea, which we went in that direction and soon realized I couldn't even speak to the person that I needed to on the phone. And then we realized it's maybe just a not now. And then in his kindness, God spoke during the night. I think he was like, I need to get you quiet to hear from me. And I woke up and to hear Redland's mental health, and I was kind of like, why am I awake thinking Redland's mental health? And I couldn't shake it. And I even said, like, God, is that you? You know, I know that you do this, you do these, you know, you speak in this way. So from there, the next few days, the Holy Spirit was unpacking that original scripture, because there was a few months in between, where I had originally thought, you know, go out to the highways and the hedges, you know, my mind, of course, went to the homeless. And it is that, but I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's broader than that. It's the hidden. It's the unseen in society. It's those who are forgotten, missed, and it's those who society is also okay with remaining hidden. And he just said, you're my ambassador. Not for a moment is anyone unseen by me, no matter their circumstance. The power of El Roy, the God who sees. So I want you to see who I see. Yeah. So that, for me, was the link to calling the mental health ward at the Redlands Hospital. And can I say, when God's in something, God's in something. Talk about the contrast. Like, I couldn't even get the other lady, which was my idea, on the phone. And I call the hospital, I get put through to the exact person I need to speak to straight away. They weren't on lunch break, calling me back later. It was an immediate put through. And I just said, like, hey, I'm from Beacon Church, we're just down the road. We're looking at serving the community. Is there anything you're in need of, or can we help you? And it was, oh my gosh, yes. We are in need of donations of clothes, shoes, toiletries. Many people who come here and the way they present, say, through ED and all sorts of things, are in positions where they don't have anything. They are already stripped back. They are already vulnerable. And then they can't wash clothes because it's the only clothes that they have. There's nothing else to put on. There's no pajamas. They're in the day, sleeping in the night, over and over. And I think for people who may not be like us in that situation, it can be hard to understand, but why can't your friends or husband or wife or family just get you what you need? And the answer to that is, this is all from the hospital. It's not the case. It's simply not the case. People are in dire situations. People are broken. The world is no joke, right? So it just doesn't exist. So, and even before I could say, you'll have good language regarding this, can we show where the donations are coming from? She goes, oh, and, you know, feel free to bring in little cards with your name on it and whatever. And we'd love to point people here to your church, because when they're in these situations, they often start asking questions. And I was just like, I'm talking to Queensland Health, and they are going before me and saying these things, and that we would point. So, and that's how it came out. When God's in it, he's in it.
Yeah, and that part was quite amazing, because we had had conversations about wanting the name Beacon to be attached to it. Now, I want you to hear the heart behind that, because it definitely was not about, we want credit for this, or we want to build a brand, or we want Beacon to get all the glory. That was not our heart behind it at all. Our heart behind it was, we want people to know where to go when they're in trouble. We want people to know, when they're in their darkest moments, or when they're at their lowest point, when they're in dire need, for them to maybe just go, who was that church that helped me when I was in that moment, or that donated those things? Maybe someone there could help me. And obviously it's not us. We believe it's Jesus that can help them ultimately. And we want to be, you know, we've talked about our vision. We want to be people that guide people home. We want to guide people to Jesus. And this is just, so for us it was about, not about our name and lights. It was about, when it matters in those moments, people go, I can count on Beacon. If I can find that Beacon church, I can get the phone number for them. I can find someone from there. Maybe they can help me. That's what it was about for us. So the fact that the hospital was saying, like before we even had a chance to ask, saying you can do that. And so we do have some photos, because we've begun doing this as a church. So Nicole and Johan have gone, and thanks to the generosity of this church, of you guys, we were already in a position where we could go and start buying clothes and I think thongs and what else have we got up there? Toiletries. That's a later story, but the toiletries one's up there. And the amazing part of the story, again, God being in it, is the hospital called Nicole asking if we could provide Bibles. So do you want to talk to that?
Yeah, I feel like God just laughs at me and he says, you know, don't diminish me. I was dropping off donations and, like I said before, you know, just being really relaxed, like, yeah, we're from a church, but, you know, we're not going to Bible bash. And they go, Bibles, yes, need those. Could you bring some? yeah, we can bring some. And, you know, the people that I'm speaking to, they're not Christians, these nurses. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't really know, like, priests or pastors.
Because they said to you, people were actually asking for Bibles, yeah. And the staff didn't know who to call.
Yes.
So now they know they can call us for
exactly,
Bibles.
Exactly. It's about that partnership with the hospital. It's like, please call on us. Like, you may have people in there too with specific needs or likes or wants. Call us, let us know. But yeah, we were able to bring in Bibles with a note in each, prayed over each Bible that whoever needs to pick that up, that note will speak to them. But yeah, when God's in it, he does more than you could imagine.
Absolutely. And I know this is, like, obviously this was a God idea, which we love, and that's something that we'd talked a lot with you about when you guys had put up your hand for this, which was an answer to prayer for us because we were looking for the right people to, I guess, head this up for this church. But one of the things that we had talked about is we very much wanted it to be God's agenda. Like, we didn't want it to be our ideas or our agenda. It's like, okay, God, yeah, Holy Spirit, lead us here. Like, where are we? Where are we needed? Where are the gaps in this city that we, that you've uniquely equipped us to help meet? And I know this is obviously, this was a God idea, as you told us, but I know this was actually particularly close to your heart as a couple. And I know you want to share a bit more about that, which I think is really helpful. So,
yeah. I think you wanted, there's quite a bit of stigma relating. I think society's gotten a lot better, right? Mental health and all of that is much more spoken about and open with, but I think it's a different level to be admitted into an inpatient ward for it. And yes, I think, I know both of you share on, like, when we give, when we tithe, you want our hearts to be in the right place. So we don't want to be giving to something whilst also like, oh, does that make sense? And so you just don't know who you will be helping. Not everyone will need shoes. And that's the point, is that there's 18 to 88. There's male, there's female. The enemy does not discriminate. It is the us. It's the mum, it's the dad. It's not just people who are in hard circumstances. And I think, yeah, it's just releasing that stigma. And for me, I'd say entire life, I remember being a little girl just going, if I'm here, I'm here. If I'm not on this earth, it wouldn't really matter. Take it or leave it. And over the years, becoming an adult, those thoughts just get deeper and darker and more ingrained. Even as a Christian, I came to the Lord maybe 5 years ago now, and I would probably greet you on the door. And that wasn't fake. That's the torment of this. Whilst also being so riddled with thoughts of unworthiness. And I do remember one day just going, I was aware enough to say, okay, if you can think that, then that is scary. Just go to ED. What would I say? No idea. But just go, because it was terrifying me. But to be honest, the enemy just spoke louder. Don't do that. Your pastors will know. Everyone will know. Your home will have to talk to you about people. Like, don't do that, because now your identity will lie with being in a mental health ward. Absolute lie from the enemy. By the grace of God, he intervened in my life and delivered me in my living room, completely set me free. And like I said, completely set me free. Yes, there's still a lot of junk there, but that, gone in an instant. And like I said, I don't need to not think to steal something. You just don't even think it. That's what he did for me. But we all know that God heals supernaturally, and God uses doctors and professionals and counselors and psychologists and social workers, all who are in this room, praise God. They are gifts from God. So, I think the reason I share that is you do not know. And yes, I did have family support, and I didn't end up going. But I also know of people that say, like us, who go, I don't want my husband coming here. I don't want my kids coming here. Or maybe the husband forgets the pajamas. Do you know? Like, there's so many reasons you just do not know.
Did you want to share anything on that, Johan?
I think I'll be almost echoing what Nicole was saying, but God spoke to us about the hidden. And I think many of us can agree, you know, the hidden, it's the epitome is in the mind. You know, it's that depression and anxiety that worthlessness, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just absolutely crippling for so many people. And yeah, like Nicole was just saying, it's, I think sometimes as a society, you know, we can, when we talk about the hospital wards, you can go, oh, you know, it's a cardiac ward, just, but as soon as you say it's a hospital's mental health unit, you know, you can get a bit icky about it. But that's something we just want to, yeah, we just want to lift off. And what was I going to say? Yeah, we just want to, when I guess our heart is that, you know, it's that we can talk about it without the stigma involved. And I guess, yeah, the hidden is the people that you won't even know is in there. And it's, what's that? Yeah, and I think it's no coincidence that we're almost the closest church to that hospital as well. It's God's in that again. And yeah, even the physical building, it's actually hidden. You wouldn't even know the building is, you know, within the hospital. So all those factors combined, we just, yeah, we think, we just felt that's what God was pointing us to. And even, you know, the Bible talks, I'll say, a little bit about the physical body, but not nearly as much as the mind. You know, where, for example, he'll say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, it's super important for us in that regard.
So, on a very practical level, can we get those photos back up on the screen of some of the stuff we've already donated to the Redlands Hospital? One of the things I want to point out is that all the clothes that we're donating, and this is a very practical level for us as a church, they're all brand new. This is not second hands. This isn't you going home and going, oh, I don't need that anymore. That guy can use that. This is like, we want to bless people. And with brand new clothes, that restores dignity to people. One of the things that, Nicole, you mentioned, not only that, even the next slide, when it comes to like, yeah, brand new thongs and then the next one, where's the next one? The body wash stuff. It's like good stuff. Like, let's get good stuff. Like, if you wouldn't have it in your own home, don't give it to someone else. You know, like, we want to be a church that lives generously, not just like, oh, I live generously for myself, but they can have the no brand and the, you know what I mean? Like, I want it, you know, we want people to be blessed and go, wow, like, I feel loved in this space. And Nicole, you mentioned, even to highlight that, leave the tags on the clothes so they know it's brand new. It actually just highlights again. Can you explain a bit more about just that restoring dignity to these people that are in a place where they don't have clothes?
Yeah, and it is tags on because the patients, they want to see that it's new. It also helps with the nurse, like, hey, take this. And then they can go, oh, yep, it is new. They will then take it off later. Obviously, there are restrictions in the ward. It's kind of anything that you wouldn't give to a child, you wouldn't bring in. Some things will have safety pins on tags and things like that. That's okay. The nurses will look after that later. Tags on. And yeah, it's the body wash. It's the nice stuff.
And so practically, when can people start bringing those things in? How will it work?
Yeah, so I think what we'll be doing is, yeah, like you said, donating, you know, brand new clothes, all that sort of thing. And it will be an ongoing service we want to do for them, like a partnership. It's not just a once-off, so as of next week, we'll have a donation box in the foyer. So, yeah, please feel free just, you know, in the next couple of months or weeks, throw a couple of items in there. And, yeah, our heart is that, yeah, we want to show them, you know, we want to do our best for them, so we want to give them new stuff. They are worthy of our best as well. At this stage, we won't necessarily be going in and meeting with them on the ward and talking to them, but we're praying that, you know, God will open doors in that regard, and we'll just, yeah, pray for the favour, that we can be a constant presence in there and, you know, a beacon in a dark place, and pun intended, you know. but, yeah, it just, yet again, it'll highlight it, you know, even if you just meet the smallest of practical needs for these people, how, you know, God can just open a door. It's so amazing. And he spoke to me about this when we're actually hearing about, you know, what God wants us to do in this space. And he said, you know, he doesn't want us to go in there and twist an arm to get a confession or a sinner's prayer. As important as it is, it's you know, it's not about us just ticking a box and going, yeah, we did our Christian duty, but it's a truly love on these people.
Mm. So that's door number one that's open for Beacon Care in this moving forward as a church. But there's another door that's opened as well, which we want to see people get involved with once a month. And can you explain how this came about and how this is a very practical, on a practical level, you can actually volunteer and be part of this?
Yeah, so I feel like this might be a little just information giving, but we sense that there was something else God was wanting us to do, and a lovely lady in this church pointed us to the right people. We did go out to the community, but we just felt like there was somebody that we were just needing to get to. So we connected with the council. So they have community safety advisors, and they are the ones who are aware of, help go out, drive around every couple of days and identify the rough sleepers in the Redlands, which there are about 65 homeless people in the Redlands at the moment that they know of, along with Q Shelter. Q Shelter is the peak body for housing and homelessness in Queensland, and they have representatives in each area. As we know, people in vulnerable situations, it's more complex, and to be honest, there aren't really answers sometimes. But these are the people that try and navigate the systems, Department of Housing. There's addiction, there's abuse, there's so many things at play. They're the ones that try and help where it doesn't seem like there can be help. So we're able to meet with them, have great conversations with them, and we realised there was a gap that we could fill in something they called the Redlands Community Hub. So that is where once a month down in Cleveland, they set up a space for vulnerable residents to come in and meet with sector services. And what I mean by that is there's housing, there's NDIS, there's mental health, there's drug and alcohol. All of these people are there, all the professionals are there, which is, one, allows people to know what support is available. Two, they don't have to retell their story over and over again, which can be quite a hindrance to people seeking help. But what these hubs will do is we will be able to provide groceries, because the same people in those circumstances are in need now. So it's kind of a great, we just felt it was a safe avenue for church to start this, our help in the community, where they can come in, get groceries, meet with who they need to meet with, and then there'll be us who will bring hope. Because we know that you can meet a practical need, you can connect with the professionals, God bless them, but to live a whole life, you need Jesus. So that's what we want to bring. So this would be asking for volunteers. We're hoping for about a team of 5 people to help Johan once a month on a Wednesday down in Cleveland, serve the barbecue, set up morning tea, help people choose groceries, because they will be there and we want to give people a choice. At the same time, when they're in certain situations, it can be really hard for them. It can be seen really overwhelming. So to have someone come alongside and go like, hey, how much can you carry? Do you have access to hot water and things like that? So that will be our role there.
And I think what was quite amazing there is because, yeah, you set up, got this meeting set up, which I came along with you too. And what I was amazed at is we're sitting in a room and here is all these different levels of government and basically saying to the church, come, help us, we need you. And, yeah, like it was an open invitation, which is what we've been praying for. We've been praying for that, God, you'll just make it clear and you'll show us where the gaps are and where we're needed. And it's been quite amazing to not have to push. It's like people going, we want the church. We need your help. We need your people. And so that was really amazing. And Johan, you've been already once to the community hub, and do you just want to share like how that went, how it was received?
So it was about, I think, start of the month. We had our first one. It was so good in so many ways. When I rocked up with all the groceries, thanks to all your generous donations, I think we bought over $1,000 worth of groceries, and the sector, or who runs it, Q Shelter, they were just in awe of just our generosity.
So we got that photo, because that's what that's from, is that right?
That's
all those bags,
there.
That was for the community hub.
And no word of a lie, they probably 95% of that went within the first hour, and And I'm not talking about people taking bags with them. It's maybe one bag, two max.
I think it's like in that 1,000 is 20 loaves of bread and 20 long life milk, just out of context.
And that went
it all helps
so quickly to the point where I had to duck across the road to get more groceries. And it was probably around, I think 30-plus people come in, needing help in that regard. But everyone was just giving our church its praise and just saying thank you so much. And I was like, honestly, it's our honour. It's our absolute pleasure to help. Even when we dropped off the donations to the Redlands Mental Health, when I dropped it off to the nurse, and, she was just like, you could just tell their faces just light up that someone's actually going out of their way to help them, even with something, like I said, so small and practical. But, it's such a pleasure and honour for us to help them.
And that's our heart behind it too, is that, yes, we want to meet need, but also there's a lot of people out there that have very negative opinions about churches, and we actually want to help break that. We want to help where people go, actually, I can't deny that the church actually is full of beautiful, loving, caring people, and their generosity is actually felt in the city. So I love that you guys have started these initiatives that are starting to change people's perception, because you never know, one day their perception might be changed so much that they go, well, maybe today's the day I'm going to actually walk in there and check it out for myself. So that's beautiful.
That's already happened already too, hasn't it? You've had some interactions with people in recent months where they've actually called you first point of call. Like, they've actually thought, how can I get help? And they've come to you, Nicole. A lady came to you just, I don't know where else to go. I thought you might be able to help me. Which is, that's the power of being able to know that there's a church connected to the background of helping these community groups. Can you tell us about that? Because I think that's a beautiful story about someone just going, I didn't know where to go, but I thought I'd ask you.
Yeah, I think this isn't anything new. We are a caring, compassionate, generous church, and we already do things. And one of those is prison fellowship. So at Christmas time, we were delivering gifts to a carer who was looking after children whose dad was in prison. And I said this before, these interactions are very short. They're a little bit awkward, I'm from church, here are some gifts. But I did say, we are from Beacon, we are just down the road. We would love to help in any way. It's what we do. You have my number, please reach out. And she actually did. A week later, I get a message saying, do you know anybody who fixes washing machines? And I was like, absolutely not. Do I know that? But it was the next message that came through straight after, before I could reply, that said, I'm so sorry for messaging you. I was really flustered and you're the first person I thought of. It's not me that she thought of. I had this, amount of conversation. She thought of the church. And it's really important to follow through on our word. So, we were Googling to see, and at this point, she's just asking if I know a company that can fix washing machines. And I said, oh, I'll have a look and what have you. Couldn't get any of that information. So I did as every good wife does, and I sent my husband to fix the problem. I don't know, he knows things. Go. Like, this is our opportunity. I don't know. You're an electrician. Do you know washing machines? I don't know, but whatever. We've got to make this work. Yeah, right, I don't know. So Johan went to her home, and again, she just asked if I know somebody. But to follow through, and again, it's the us going into their space. And even that, you get message, thank you so much for sending Johan. I've never asked for help before. I was so nervous to text you. And unfortunately, he's great, but he couldn't fix the washing machine.
You did your best, mate. We're proud of you. On behalf of all the men, we're proud of you.
God didn't want you to fix the washing machine.
No.
So we just sensed the Spirit was here, right? You don't need to come into these walls. Yes, we would love to have you. We're an advocate for church. We love the Sunday. But you don't need to for us to love you. You don't need to for us to see you and help you. So call Pastor Beck. And I just love that all of this sits under two pastors whose heart is this. And we had a brand new washing machine to this family within 3 days. The old one taken to the tip. There are 9 children. A week out from Christmas. So good. It it matters. It matters what we do. It matters the out and what happens in here. And that just came off an interaction in someone's home and said, let us know.
And your generosity, by the way. It's you guys who got that washing machine.
Yeah, we could act on it quickly because you're a generous church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Well.
So if people want to get involved, what can they do?
So, yeah, the donations in the box, like we said, Wednesday mornings once a month will be the hub. If you come back next Sunday after the 10 o'clock, we'll provide more detail. If you're feeling that nudge from the Lord that this may be a space where he wants you to be, come along and we'll give you some more details. The first hub is the next one's the 5th of June, so we'll catch you before then. But we know that there are so many skills, so many willing hearts in this church, and you may not be available on a Wednesday. So we wanted to facilitate a way of you, if you would like to be made aware of any needs that may arise in the community. So we have set up the Beacon Care Serving Group, which you can find in the app, and that will exist for, say, you are connecting with somebody in your world. And they need help and you cannot help them. You know, it's kind of this story of, you know, the old neighbor needs his lawn mowed situations. And you would like church to step in and help with that. Let us know directly. And then whoever has put forward their name in this group, you will be made aware of that. We don't know all of the things that, you know, all of the gifts that you have. So this will be a way of getting that information to you. And then you can say yay or nay to that.
Yep. So just to confirm, the way you can do that is the QR code on back of your seat or on our website. There's that Beacon Care serving team. You can just join that. That gives Nicole and Johan an idea that, all right, these people are interested in being involved.
Yeah, well, look, I know that, you know, the scriptures often say, like, faith without works is dead. You know, we want to make sure we have our arms and our legs and our feet and our hands all connected to what we believe in Jesus. And we're so thankful for this couple. And, you know, we're excited for where this goes. And we know it's just the start. But I thought just to wrap up, we might pray for these guys. Is that good?
Yeah, and before we do, I might just say one last thing. Well, a couple of things. Firstly, we're going to pop some prayer points up because we'd love everyone to be supporting this in prayer. But we also felt today we didn't want to wrap this up without saying maybe you're sitting here and you're in one of those categories that Nicole and Johan were talking about today, and we would hate as a church to think that we're so busy out there helping the community and there's people within our very family here at Beacon struggling in any of these areas. So maybe it's mental health, you know, maybe Nicole sharing her story. I've already talked to people after 8 a.m. that found that so refreshing to hear your story. So thank you so much for your openness to share that, because it's, I know it's already impacted a lot of people, but maybe it's that. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. You need help in that area. Maybe it's financially. We know cost of living, that is a massive concern for so many families. So please don't be silent. If you're struggling with any of those areas, come and, you know, chat to Nicole and Johan, chat to Az and I. Reach out. We want to help you. Even this morning, you know, we always have our prayer teams available. Don't be afraid to come down and get somebody to pray with you about what you're going through. As I said, we would just hate to know that you're suffering silently and alone. You don't have to do this alone. That's part of the beauty of being part of the church, and we want to do this together. So,
yeah, powerful stuff. Hey, let's all stand together. We're going to pray that this ministry will thrive, that God's Holy Spirit will go before this couple as they sort of reaching out and connecting with community. What a beautiful couple they are, just loving Jesus and loving people. And just believing that this church will be activated through this really practical way to reach our community. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for Johan and Nicole. God, we thank you that you've called them, and we commission them right now as they go out. And just our hands and feet of you, Jesus, in our community. God, Redlands for Christ, but in very practical ways, God, we pray that more doors will open, your favor will be upon them, that things that seem impossible will become possible because, God, you are in it. God, we thank you for Beacon Care. We thank you for the thousands of lives will be impacted because of this church and the practical way of being you, Jesus, in this community. We pray a blessing over this couple and their family in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give them a round of applause?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.